Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice President. On the issue of anti-torture, allow me to provide the following concrete measures. The government of Indonesia has proposed a definition of torture in line with the one stipulated under ANCAT to be incorporated in the draft of the new penal code. On the related articles on torture crimes are also submitted according to the principle of prevention and eradicating torture law enforcement activities. In efforts to supervise, prevent and mitigate acts of torture in prison, the Minister of Law and Human Rights has also strengthened its prevention and mitigation mechanism by releasing internal regulations consisting of standard minimum rules and ethical codes regarding the treatment of detainees in prison. An ethical code team whose primary duty is to process alleged torture cases perpetrated by the official is assigned at every prison or detention center to uphold the code. On cooperation, training and workshops, since 2013, thousands of law enforcers have received a continuous series of human rights training. Training for trainers and workshops, particularly applying Mendes principles and investigative interviewing. These programs are conducted in many regions in Indonesia and in cooperation with several third parties, such as the Convention Against Torture Initiative and Association for the Prevention of Torture. Law enforcers are also supported with anti-torture training module. On the issue of the death penalty, the death penalty remains as a part of Indonesia's positive law, where its application is safeguarded after the ICCPR and other international legal requirements. While continuing to note various concerns from other countries and civil society on the issues, it is our conviction that the rights of the offenders, especially those who committed, must be weighed against the rights of the victims and their families. Illegal drugs trading remains an ever-increasing challenge for my country to protect our future generation. Globally, 284 million people aged 15 to 64 use drugs, with young people using more drugs than previous generation. Drug production and trafficking continue recorded growth. In perspective, in 2021, almost more than 4.8 million Indonesians became victims of illegal drugs. Acts of terrorism had taken the lives of countless innocent people in Indonesia. Moreover, most victims and families of terrorist attacks are traumatized or impacted for the life of their unfortunate tragedy. Simply putting ourselves in the victim's shoes left us with no choice but remain imposing death penalty on the most serious crime in our society following our national law. The government has consistently applied the necessary safeguards based on international standard. The death penalty is used as a last resort and undertaken through a series of strict and exhaustive due process of law. We also continue to facilitate the submission of legal remedies for transferring the death penalty into life sentence. To further strengthen safeguard, there is an ongoing revision of Indonesia's criminal code in which the government introduced new reforms regarding capital punishment. Under the proposed penal code, the death penalty will not be considered a principal punishment, but rather an alternative form of sanction with a high possibility of commutation. Under the new draft of criminal law, the death penalty is determined as the most severe and should always be considered alternatively with life imprisonment for a maximum of 20 years. The death penalty can also be imposed conditionally by providing a probationary period where the sentence can be changed to a certain imprisonment if the convicts could show behavior improvement. Hopefully, at the end of this year, the new penal code will be passed by the parliament. On the issue of religious freedom, the Indonesian Constitution guarantees the fundamental rights of freedom of religion and belief. With more than 300 ethnic groups, with 700 languages under different cultures and religions, Indonesia remains united under the principle of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika and with our ideology Pancasila. We promote diversity that upholds tolerance and peace in society. Against this background, the government is fully aware of the ongoing challenges of frictions or tensions related to religious beliefs. The government utilizes a dispute resolution mechanism involving the Center of Religious Harmony, public figures, local government, grassroots communities, and security forces. This mechanism was used, among others, to settle the Yasmin Church dispute. I shared this mechanism along with the call to promote freedom of religion globally through dialogue and cooperation to the participants of the International Religious Freedom Summit in Washington, D.C. last June. Moreover, the Minister of Religious Affairs is now mainstreaming religious moderation to promote the middle way for people to live peacefully, promoting religious tolerance and protecting religious minority. The implementation of this program is based on the 2020 to 2024 roadmap for strengthening religious moderation and has been included in the 2020 to 2024 National Midterm Development Plan. Yeah. The Indonesian government not only recognizes six official religions, but also recognizes traditional beliefs. As mandated by the Constitutional Court's decision, followers of the traditional belief system can now register their belief in their ID cards and family cards. The policy has restored dignity and stopped discrimination against followers of traditional beliefs, ensuring their equal rights as citizens with equal access to public services such as education, civil registration for marriage, school services, and health and other public services. I thank you, Mr. Chair. We will continue our response later in the second round of discussion. Thank you.